All right, we are back. You have it tuned to KHUM, Humble Grown Radio Without the Rules. My name is Lindsay, and I am very, very, very excited to be joined in the studio by local luthier, Michael Walker. How's it going, Michael?
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having us today.
I'm really glad that you could come down and play. You're gonna be playing some of your guitars that you've built and talking about some of the cool stuff that you've been up to lately in our community.
Mm-hmm. And we have David Isley here with us, who is a fantastic musician, guitar player, and he really does the guitars justice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I've been listening to you warm up, trying to get the sound all dialed in, whatnot. And David's amazing. Dave.
Thank you.
Dave is amazing. And so he's going to be demoing some of the guitars, and you... Michael used to have a shop situated on top of Wildwood Music, but recently you have relocated, right?
Yes, I was up in the attic of Wildwood for 2 or 3 years there. And over the last several months, I have moved to 550 South G Street in Arcata, suite number 9.
Very conveniently located right next to the Redwood Curtain Brewery.
Yes, that is the landmark, the Redwood Curtain Brewery there. That's how I tell people how to get there. And it's a bigger shop with offering a lot more services for the community, from spray work to lots and lots of repair work, building. And just now recently, we're starting our first class there tomorrow.
Yes, yeah, so you're going to be starting to offer workshops at your new shop, and what will you be teaching at your workshops that you're offering to folks in the community?
Well, this one is an introductory course. It's a basic, basic maintenance guitar. Really learning how to set up your instrument. You don't need a whole lot of tools to do it. Most anybody can do it after they've been taught. Over a few hour period of time. So we'll cover just about everything, setting up the action, as you would say. That's raising and lowering the strings from, the distance from the strings to the fingerboard. So this little piece on the back of the guitar, it's called a saddle. So we'll be adjusting some of that, and that'll make it, it'll make it easier for people to play, is basically why you do it. And, it does alter the tone a little bit, how it's fitted, but mostly we're going to be dealing with the playability. So we'll deal with the nut up here at the other end of the fingerboard, doing some slotting, lowering the strings from the first fret to the strings. We'll be shortening that distance, which you can imagine when you're playing an instrument on the first fret. If it's easier to press that string down, well, it's probably easier to play too.
Right. So you're for folks who maybe don't even play a stringed instrument, I'm going to paraphrase you, okay, and to try to put this into layman's terms. So for your first workshop, you're going to be covering the basics of, hey, say you just get this brand new guitar in the shop, and you want to make it feel like it's easier for you to play. Sometimes when you get a guitar, you're having a hard time getting your fingers to press down on the strings all the way and getting a good sound out of them, and your muscle memory just isn't there yet. Or say you want to change your guitar so where it is it's easier for you to play, or it's suited to your liking, so you can lower or raise the strings according to that. And get it to where it feels more comfortable for you to play, and that's what you're going to be going over in your workshop.
That's part of it, yes. So if you buy an instrument off the shelf, you go into your store. Well, these instruments are, unless you buy a fine handcrafted guitar from a
for
local
someone
luthier,
that might make them here in Arcata.
They're set up sort of stock, and so most every instrument that you buy off the shelf does need a little bit of setup work. Not a lot, but it does need to be adjusted. But also there's environmental factors. So inside the neck, there's a truss rod, and it makes it where the neck is adjustable. So let's say in this climate, it's real rainy today, so it's pretty humid. Well, that tends to have an effect on the wood. So it might raise the top up. It'll definitely alter the neck, and the neck will want to lift up a little bit, and we call it relief, have too much relief. So you can adjust that truss rod, tighten it, which would basically straighten out the neck a little bit. And those are things that, you know, when it gets to be summertime and you're inland in the hills, well, the humidity drops drastically. And so that will affect the instrument as well. That'll make the neck go the other way. So knowing these kind of things where you can make slight adjustments throughout the year in this kind of environment will also be very beneficial to any instrument owner.
Cool. And so you're pretty much giving folks the tools to take charge of setting up their instruments the way that they would like them, and having the knowledge and the experience of going through these situations at these workshops, so they feel comfortable manipulating their instruments in ways that might seem foreign.
It's kind of like teaching a guy to change his own oil, you know.
Something like that. Cool. And so you've been building guitars here locally, you were saying, for 8 years.
Yeah, something like that. I started working for a gentleman named P.W. Crump, Phil Crump, and he's been doing it for quite a while, I guess 30 years or so, and he makes Irish bouzoukis, citterns. He's got his own design, you know, and he patterned it off of the Martin Guitar X brace that came about in the early 1900s. And most all folk guitars are now, most all acoustic guitars use that X bracing pattern. But I started working with him. I really didn't know much about woodworking or fine woodworking besides, you know, putting up a barn, stuff like that, building I knew about, but not much about fine woodworking. So he took me from basically not knowing anything to having a good start. Phil is also an excellent repairman, and so he'd get instruments in that needed repair, and I just always loved how, I just loved the process of it, because everything, it was always different. There was always a different problem, and every guitar needed a different kind of plan to make it work, you know. And so that really sparked my interest even more into the repair world. And actually, most builders that I've talked to, at some point they've had to rely on repair work to make it,
to sustain their living.
Yes, and then when you're starting out, you make tons of mistakes, so you're kind of teaching yourself to be a repairman to fix all your
own mistakes that you're making.
Yeah, and so I did that for a while, and I really wanted to get a little bit deeper in the repair world, and I was invited to come work with a gentleman. He lives in Savannah, Georgia, and his name is Randy Wood. And when I got over there to Randy's shop, I realized that I didn't know a thing, and they pretty much told me that on a daily basis. So I was thrown into a situation where I had to learn pretty quickly. It was a really high-end, high-volume repair shop, and they made guitars and mandolins and dobros, and they made all these instruments there. But we were dealing with customers that would ship instruments from all over the country to be worked on by Randy. So I spent a couple of years there in that repair department and really got, you know, a deeper knowledge of the way instruments function. You know, I got to look at a lot of 1930s Martins, you know, and got to take them all apart. Got to look at Lloyd Lord mandolins and violins and stand-up basses, and that really helped me figure out where I should focus the strength of my instruments, where I could lighten it up to lively up the sound of the instruments.
It kind of gave you this this basis to form your own your own pattern for. I'm speaking like a seamstress. Like you're taking apart all of these instruments, and it kind of gave you sounds like a start for developing your own approach to building instruments.
Well, I think to hone in the approach, I fell in love with the guitars that the Martin Guitar Company built from the years of 1930, the late 20s, all the way up to about 1937 or something like that. And those are the years that those are the best instruments I've ever seen. I still think they're the best ever made. And Gibson made wonderful guitars around that same time. The craftsmanship was outstanding. The materials are great, and they build them really light and really strong. So the guitars that I have here that I brought with me, they're all basically patterned after a 1934 to 1937 Martin style guitar. So these are vintage reproductions.
Cool. And so so you've been, I mean, I've noticed that the guitars are definitely different in size and appearance and whatnot, but you've been essentially from this work that you did in the repair shop in Savannah, kind of taking the approach of those 1930s Martins and then putting your own modern day spin on them?
Yeah, the materials are different now. You know, we don't, you can't get Brazilian rosewood. The spruce is just not the same. So you have to be able to work with that, you know. That's what I'm doing now is, you know, how light can I get it without it falling apart? Because you sure don't want it clunky, you know. And I'm even, I guess the more I get into it, the more I just want to see if they will fall apart. Just really get on that threshold there, you know, because that's what makes the instrument lively and makes it have a voice and response.
Nice. And so do you have a favorite wood to work with or favorite materials that you've been experimenting with that are that have been this result of not having access to the original materials that Martin was using to build some of these instruments?
Yeah, you know, of all the woods, I really like Adirondack spruce, and it's you know, it's from the Adirondack Mountains here. Mm-hmm. So it is somewhat local, and I'm working a lot with mahogany right now. Mahogany is still pretty cheap, and it's still get good quality mahogany. The rosewoods, on the other hand, pretty hard to come by and getting really expensive, and so it's pretty tough to just have. You know, the Indian rosewood, like this OM, it's fairly easy to come by, but a high quality is not so easy to come by. This dreadnought here, it's Honduran rosewood, and the trees are small, so to get a big size guitar like this one, it's real difficult to come by. So yeah, those are where I stick between the rosewood and mahogany, and usually always Adirondack spruce.
Cool. And do you imagine, so the process of working on these instruments, it probably takes a while, right, to put them together?
It does me.
So do you work on like multiple instruments at a time and they're all like at different phases, or do you kind of like, you have your day where you're like, okay, I'm just going to cut, you know, the headstock and work on the headstock of all of these, or?
Well, I've tried to do a small production, and it just doesn't work for my style. I do a lot of repair work, and so most of my days are filled with repair work. And, you know, I have customers that come in throughout the day, and it's hard to focus on just building. So those are the days that I pretty much lock the door. You know, the shop's appointment only. So it's easier for me to do one at a time. I feel like I can get a better feel for the wood and a better just feel for the building process.
I imagine that would make it feel like a more intimate experience with each instrument that you're building too, like they would maybe mean more maybe than if you were just working on like a bunch of different ones at the same time. It's like almost summing up an era, right?
I get pretty attached to the instruments that I build. I really do. And you know, and it's the anticipation of, well, I did this a little bit different. I shaved the bracing down a little bit lower on this one. So I really want to see what this sounds like. I'm really trying to bring out the mid range in this next one. And, the anticipation is a wonderful process, you know?
Cool. And I bet that helps you, really focus on getting it done just so you can hear what it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, and back to the production thing, there's plenty of people doing the production. You know, you can go to any store and find 10 guitars that are just the same, and they'll sound just the same. And that's something that, you know, I'm not set up to do, and I'm probably never going to be a guitar factory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really interested in that.
That's cool. There are already guitar factories. So
there are some. Yeah.
So, well, I'm glad for you that you. It seems like it's got to be such rewarding work to start from scratch and build. It seems like work that you obviously love and have invested a lot of time and energy into. And the instruments that you make are beautiful. Do you mind if we listen to one of your guitars? I know Dave is looking a little bored over there. I don't know if you ran out of coffee.
Be disruptive.
but Dave Isley is here, and he's an amazing guitar player, and he's going to be playing some of these guitars. Let's listen to one of your guitars. You want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Sure. We'll do a tune together right now, because we're sort of all set up to that.
All right.
We're going to do a tune called The Texas Gales, which is a flat picking standard fiddle tune that, if you're in this kind of genre of music, then you know it. And we have two different models. The one that David is playing is model after Martin, guitar from 1934. It's an orchestra model. So this one is it's kind of a mid-size guitar. The woods on it are Indian rosewood, an Adirondack spruce top, Indian rosewood back and sides. The neck is made of mahogany with a rosewood fingerboard on this one. So we have ebony, rosewood, and spruce. That's kind of where they're at. And the one I'm playing here is a dreadnought. It's what most people are familiar with like a folk guitar. It's basically the largest one, you know. And this one is rosewood as well, Honduran rosewood, though. And so this one, you know, this is your loud kind of strumming, singing guitar and flat picking guitar. So you'll probably notice a little bit of difference in the tone of it. Maybe you can figure out which one's which.
Okay.
Here we go. Take it off, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm making a whole lot of noise. As much noise as I can for you guys. This is beautiful. It is really amazing the different, there's like, it's like night and day, the different tones of those two guitars. I really like the brightness of the guitar that Dave is playing right now. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Michael Walker and David Isley. They're live here in the KM studio right now, and they are playing some locally made guitars that Michael builds in Arcata. And looks like there's about to be
some more mayhem
as soon as the finger picks can get on.
So, okay. I would like to say that this is an orchestra model guitar. Really, a lot of people use these guitars for finger picking.
Mm-hmm.
And David does just an awesome job at this. So if we have a little time, I'd like to sit back and listen to him play.
Listen to him play? Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
I'll just do a couple of things from Mississippi John Hurt here. The first one is called Spider Spider, which I think he made up, but it had a children's rhyme to it, and I couldn't understand through his accent, his patois, what he was saying. But probably good. It could have been pretty off color. The other one is his version of Shortening Bread, which is something my grandmother sang to me when I was a child.
Okay, before you start, I just need to give the legal ID really quick. You got to tune to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM, cutting Eureka Arcata, streaming and podcasting on the web at khum.com. You're listening to Dave Isley. He's going to take it away on Michael Walker
guitar. Where we're keeping
here.
It all legal.
Yeah. David Isley playing a Michael Walker original. Do you call them Walker guitars? What is the name of the guitars?
I call them M. Walker guitars.
Yeah. M. Walker guitars. He has just recently relocated to a building very close to the Redwood Curtain Brewery. And is it Suite 9?
Suite 9,
Suite
yeah.
Suite 9. Yeah, 9. So if you go in that warehouse district right there on South G Street in Arcata, that is where you will find him. And he repairs instruments and he builds instruments, and he's starting to offer some pretty awesome workshops to the community. And you do have a workshop going on tomorrow, but it's full?
Yeah, the workshop tomorrow is full, but we're hoping to have one every month, you know. So the basic, you know, maintenance seems to be a popular one that is accessible for everybody, but also going to build on that too. So the next month we are going to have one of, you know, learning how to take your frets out and replace your frets. That'll be more like a day-long class. It'll take a little bit of time, and you know, we'll have one that's you refinish your guitars. A lot of people have electric guitars. They wanted a different color or something. So learn how to strip off the finish and apply new finish, you know, things like that.
That's cool. So if you don't mind, I know Dave has a new guitar out right now, and he's going to play another song, but we do need to take a really quick break. I got to make sure that all of our wonderful folks who allow us to bring you local music and whatnot get their words in. And want to let you know that live music in the studio today is being brought to you by the folks at Solutions on the Plaza. Right now, it takes a half a pound of pesticides to make one regular cotton t-shirt, but now is your chance to experience how comfy and affordable organic cotton clothes can be at Solutions Eco Store on the Plaza. They have a sustained love sale going on right now, which is 10 to 50% off of everything in the store through February. We're going to take a real quick break. This is more like a 5-minute break. We're going to take really quick, and we're going to be back with some more amazing music and some of David Isley's beautiful playing and some more listening to some locally crafted guitars here on KHM right after this.
Hey there, this is Mike Wilson, Humboldt Bay Commissioner and candidate for 3rd District's.
All right, we are back. The time now is 9 minutes into the 4 o'clock hour. Happy Friday. You've got it tuned to KHM. My name is Lindsay, and joining us in the studio is Michael Walker, builder of guitars, and David Isley, player of guitars. And David's going to play another song for us on a guitar that Michael built. Michael Walker, how's it going? Michael, can you tell us a little bit about the guitar that David's playing right now?
That guitar has a really big sound, but you can't see it from home or from your car, but it's a really tiny box.
It's kind of a small guitar, for sure.
Mm-hmm. This is a parlor model, still made from the early 1900s design. This one does have Brazilian rosewood on it, which is one of those woods that I was mentioned was hard to get. Very, very beautiful wood and just bell-like tone. You know, probably as far as guitars go, Brazilian rosewood is the one that you want. It's the one you can't get anymore. But that is an Adirondack spruce top. And it's tiny, but has a huge sound.
Yeah, it has a great presence, and it's very bright. Bright sounding. And so how long do you spend usually working on it? You said you work like one at a time on these guitars. Do you spend like months with the same guitar, or does it just probably vary? Or,
well, yeah, you know, I spend quite a bit of time, months sometimes. Like I said, there's always the repair work that people want done yesterday. And so, you know, I've never kept up with hours, but I'm guessing somewhere in the mix of, you know, a simple one would be around 100, and then the more hours you get up, 120 hours or something. I don't do a lot of inlay like some of the other local.
Like Colin.
Like Colin does wonderful, wonderful inlay. So beautiful. Ken Lawrence, another one, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, they put a lot of time in that. So these are more traditional, more simple. So I don't have that extra bent over a bench time.
But nonetheless, the guitars that you build are beautiful. That Brazilian rosewood is amazing. Dave just lifted up the guitar so I could see it. Well, maybe we could take some pictures of these guitars too.
Or, yeah,
it's kind of silly because the visual doesn't really come through the radio very well.
You know, a good way to see this guitar, this little parlor guitar, is at Ferndale Music here.
Oh, yeah.
Our good friend Paul Beatty has a wonderful shop there. I mean, it is some kind of pretty. And if you've never seen the inside of that church, you owe it to yourself. It is some kind of pretty. And he's having these concerts in there. You got to sign up for the mailing list. You got to find him on Facebook. I mean, this guy is really a treasure to this community.
He's super cool. He actually came... hand delivered that for you for David to come play on the radio earlier today. He's a wonderful person, and I'm excited that he's got that space now.
Yeah, go check his store out, and you can see this parlor guitar and play it, and you know, see what you think about it.
Cool. Do you have another song that you would like to play on the guitar, David? Or are you gonna? Is it time for the short list? We do have to do the short list.
Well, I think we're on the short list.
It's the short list time. Which,
if I could, I'd just like to say one quick thing.
Okay.
Michael did work on both of my guitars, one of which I've owned for 43 years, and it's like my baby. And I had just given up on it. I thought it was old and worn out. But I got it back this last week. As best it sounded since I think I picked it up 43 years ago. So I can really attest to the work he does at keeping older instruments running.
Yeah, and you know, about that, the setup. You know, if you have a guitar, you owe it to yourself to have it play easily for you and get the most you can out of it. You know, it's his baby. It's a personal thing. And, you know, it's where inspiration comes from. And you're able to move all your thoughts through that instrument. And the easier it is to play, the easier it is to do that. So, you know, you owe it to yourself.
And so you're... That's what is that the inspiration behind giving these workshops in the community is trying to help people help themselves get their instruments to meet their needs better like empower them in that way.
Yes, and there's two things about that. I get beginning guitar players, mandolin players, and they come in, they have such a hard time. Well, of course they have a hard time because the instrument's nearly unplayable. So I really like to help folks like that out. And also for the older musicians that have been playing for a long time and their hands start hurting them. That's really, I'm all about the therapeutic playing, you know, so that it can keep these guys playing for the rest of their life, you know.
Cool. So if people want to check out more about your workshops, Michael, what would be a really good resource for them to go to if they want to learn more about the guitars that you build or see any of that stuff? Do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty dialed in on the social media thing. You can go to my website, M. Walker Guitar Co., just like that. There's guitars for sale, there's pictures and repair list and, you know, everything you want to know there. There's the Instagram, and I have a Facebook, M. Walker Guitars. Email address can M. Walker Guitar Company. Email me. You can call me. That's fine. 912-658-5507. Don't mind that. Or just maybe if you're getting a beer at the curtain, you can see if I'm around.
Cool. Well, thank you again for taking time out of your day to come down to Ferndale. And thank you, Dave, for coming down and playing some music for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, I appreciate you being here. And thanks for offering these classes to the community. I know that as a musician, it seems like a whole lot of valuable tools in there. And I hope that I get a chance to come and learn from you sometime in the future.
Thanks. Thank you so much for having us over here today.
Cool. Cool. So, what do you know? What song you're gonna play us out on for the shortlist?
Well, I think we're gonna play this tune that I think we both learned from Doc Watson, at different times in our life. Cool. This is called the Black Mountain Rag.
Black Mountain.
We're playing it in the key of G for whoever's wanting to play along at home.
Shortlist over this beautiful finger picking music. Today is McKinleyville Arts Night tonight. Getting underway at 6 o'clock, going until 9. And also at Synapsis, they're going to be having Color Me Queer. It's an all ages drag show featuring youth ages 10 to 21 in drag performances, emceed by Q Sheree, and there's going to be the Striped Pig String Band, and it is a fundraiser for Mike Wilson's campaign for 3rd District Supervisor. Das Barbecue is at the NCRT at 8 o'clock tonight. Also, Will Blaine's band's going to be at the Jam at 9. Money is out at the Moon Lake Casino Hotel at 9 o'clock tonight. Let's see what else. Tomorrow, let's move on to tomorrow. The Ganja Spring Kickoff is happening at the Mateo Community Center at 10 o'clock. St. Baldrick's fundraiser is at the Jam tomorrow at 12:30 in the afternoon. That's going to be a family-friendly event. And it is to raise money for childhood cancer research. There's going to be music there with the Beatles tribute band, Silver Hammer. And also tomorrow at Redwood Acres Fairground is V-Town Derby Danes versus the Humble Redwood. Also, Das Barbecue is at the NCRT tomorrow at 8. The Westerlies are at the Sanctuary at 8 o'clock tomorrow as well. There is Vava Voom Review, Cupid's Aftermath at the Arena Theater at 8 tomorrow. Peeping Thomas is playing at the Lager Bar at 9:30. Also, pretty cool show happening at Humboldt Brews, California Honey Drops at 9:30 tomorrow. And no shortage of great shows tomorrow. Cliff Dallas and the Death Valley Troubadours, Electro Saloon, and Low Vibe are going to be at the Siren Song at 9:30. Moving along to Sunday, there is an awesome HSU percussion showcase happening at the Fulkerson Recital Hall at 8 o'clock. There's going to be Marimba's African Drums, Mind Expanding Madness by John Cage, and it's going to highlight the HSU percussion showcase as three ensembles are going to perform to benefit refurbishing the Calypso Band's equipment. The Calypso Band is 30 years old at this point, so that's going to be great music for a great cause going on Sunday at 8 o'clock. I'm going to call it at that for right now. More information at khome.com. All you have to do is go there, click on the Good Time Guide. I wanted to say thanks again for Micah Walker and David Isley. They're providing the live shortlist sound bed today. Go check out Michael's guitars if you get a chance.